Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. And if you like when we have amazing guests on the podcast, then you're going to love this episode. My first guest is an event planner and a welder. That's right, I said welder. And she's currently in the final stages of cobbling together her most complex project yet, a human baby. Now, already in her due window between 37 and 42 weeks pregnant, she's been taking a closer look at her exit strategies, and her plans for birth have taken some wild turns during the final stretch. Elena Meyer, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
You're so interesting and fascinating and unique, so I want to go to the beginning, and because we have a lot to cover. Where are you from?
I'm from Oceanside.
Which is kind of, it's a California location.
It's northern San Diego.
Northern San Diego.
Yes.
I can't even say what you're pointing to as you say that, but now I understand why you're pointing there.
Yes.
So, and it's where? It's near the, it's Oceanside.
It's like on near. On the side of the ocean.
The side of the ocean. That one is appropriately named. What was it like growing up over there?
It was lovely. I love the beach, kind of.
Is it like small or
it's town? Small town, and it's like small beach town. People surf, people skate.
Are you part of those people? You're not a surfer skater?
I watched.
Oh, really?
It worked out.
Don't like the ocean? Don't like the nothing? Cold? The tight suit?
No. Doesn't work out for me. I rode horses with my mom.
Oh, you rode horses?
Yeah.
Do you still ride?
Yes.
Pregnant?
No.
Oh, okay. It was a test.
I've been good about that.
No, people do. People ride pregnant.
No. I haven't ridden in a while, but my fiance and I have a horse at our house in Tennessee, so...
That's a long ways from here.
It is. Hmm. It's lovely.
How'd you get into event planning and welding? They don't, it's sort of like, I lived in a small town, well, I lived in Georgia for a little while, and I always noted they had a couple of places that you would go, and it's like tax preparation and pet grooming. It's like things that
Perfect.
Didn't seem to go together, and I'm like, how did you guys
That's
end up here?
That's my whole career. There's a bunch of stuff that doesn't go together.
Right.
Yeah.
So how'd you get into those different kind of...
Well, when I moved to LA, I was living... in a warehouse downtown, and everybody that lived there made awesome stuff. And so I learned how to weld from people that lived in the warehouse. Also, there's other artists and collaborative people. So I learned about building stuff there. And then that took me to building stages at event festivals and stuff like that.
Oh, so they are kind of connected.
They are. Okay. And then that's where I met event producers and stuff like that.
Ah.
And then I started doing production
and
welding.
And reproduction, yes.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you weld?
Art cars, which is...
What does that mean?
An art car, it's like, it's a mutant vehicle.
Okay.
So it's like a tailored down, like the little suitcase cars at the airport. And we weld a bunch of metal onto it and make it cool things that people take to festivals. And
functional? Like they can be...
You can drive it, yeah.
You could drive it?
Yes. I've made magic carpets with one of our friends, Tomas Verde.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
Were you a tinkerer as a kid?
I was pretty heavy into just horses.
Just horses.
Just horses. I would tinker with my dad's stuff and break it, and he didn't love that. So
you've upgraded now to more horsepower. Do they go fast?
They do.
Really?
They can go like 30 miles an
hour. What happens to them after the event?
People store them. People try to rent them out. Everybody tries to sell them. It never works. They're kind of a...
There's not a market for it?
No. Hmm. It depends on what it is. But
Artcars.com?
That should be a thing.
Shark Tank.
Hmm. Hoo ha ha.
And so that's what you've been doing. And now you're having a kid.
Yep.
We just fast forward quickly into that.
Yeah.
Without much of a transition.
No, not needed.
I'll leave
needed.
The transition for later.
Perfect.
See what I did there? So, you're preggo, and you know the average age for having a baby in the United States was your age?
22?
In 1970.
Cool.
But things have changed in the past 50 years, but you're still 22 and having your first kid.
Yeah, and I'm very excited.
Are your friends that are your age also having babies?
I don't have friends that are my age.
No. I thought you were going to be like me. Like, I don't have friends.
But you're you're my friend.
I know. I have one friend. It's,
yeah.
And you're more like
we're twins.
Weird twins.
So, yeah.
So your friends are older or younger for the
older.
Most part? Okay. So are they having babies?
My sister's having a baby, which is so exciting.
First?
Yes. And she's a month behind me.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty exciting because I beat her, which is awesome. I never beat her at anything in life except for this one thing.
My girl's doing that.
My sister, my best friend is pregnant also.
Oh, so you do have pregnancy around you.
And then that's it. But it's like all happened randomly, but it's like two people.
Oh, you didn't all just get on the phone and be like, now go.
No, I mean, it was just such a surprise for my friend and my sister too. I knew my sister was trying. And then when she told me she was pregnant, I was just like shocked and so stoked that I got to experience that with her.
Together.
Yeah, because when we have hemorrhoids, we call each other and we're like, what's happening to our buttholes? This is terrible.
It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, totally.
You know what's the greatest thing about having hemorrhoids?
What?
You're not a perfect a-hole. See what I did there?
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hemorrhoid humor. So were you planning to have a baby now at this time? Was you just like want a big family?
Well, I love the idea of having kids and family young, and I always liked that plan. And it seemed like something that I wanted to do because I wanted to be able to be young and live my life with a child mm-hmm. and experience growth and all of that stuff at the same time while parenting and having an amazing little nugget with me. And I've just forgot what you said because I have pregnancy brain.
Yeah, what I have it too. Question? No, I'm saying, so was this the plan? I mean, this was your plan. It sounds like from the time you were like thinking about kids, whenever that started, your vision was that you would still be on the younger side.
Yes, definitely.
And start out. Do you
want I don't want a big family. I have a big family already.
Oh. I come from a really big family. There's only a couple of us. We're just really big.
Cool.
Yeah.
So like in size.
Yeah, we're girthy. Cool. Yeah.
We have people.
But you don't want a big family.
I don't want it huge. I just don't. I would think yes. But then now after being pregnant, I'm saying no. I don't want to have a bunch of kids anywhere. I'm
but
like,
do you think that
will
change? It could change. I mean, you're going through it now.
Yeah.
So it's,
have you ever been pregnant?
No.
It's not awesome.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't test.
It's not my favorite thing.
You don't love it.
I can't wait for the outcome. Mm-hmm. That's going to be so worth it.
But you hide it well. I've been spending a lot of time with you.
This is true.
You're always so cheerful and happy and peppy.
That's because I'm 2 weeks away from
having
the baby.
Oh, you're just excited because you can see the finish line, the checkered flag?
I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm having dreams where I'm meeting him, and it's like the best thing in the world.
It kind
so now
of is
it's worth
light
it.
At the end of the tunnel for the baby.
Literally. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Good use of the term. How did you find out you were Prego?
I was having a hormone reaction.
I've had
that.
And
I was screaming at my partner, and I was like, this doesn't actually feel warranted in any reason. And I was like, we should just stop by CVS, get a pregnancy test.
Oh, wow.
And then
we did.
You
kind of knew.
Because I was like, in, you know, every relationship you fight a little bit here and there. But I was just like, okay, this is so unwarranted, and this is so not normal. Like, I felt out of myself because it was this, like, tsunami of, like, rage.
I don't want to get in trouble with every single listener that we have, but do you not sometimes other have hormone changes that create that kind of conflict
what?
Feeling?
No. What?
No. Okay.
Cool.
you don't feel that on your periods?
No.
I'm in trouble.
No.
I just lost half our listeners.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No. You can get upset, but not like...
Because I do on my male cycle. I think we have one. I think there's a male menstrual cycle.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get kind of mean to be around.
Yeah.
My cycle's 28 days, and then for 2 days, I'm good.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our cycles are just opposite.
Exactly.
We are 4 days. You guys are all the rest of the days.
I think that might be... We might be onto something. Yeah. Our book.
I think we figured that out.
So you knew something was off like that.
Yeah.
It was not you.
Yeah. It was like there was a little demon.
So you stopped at the drugstore, got a thing, and then just...
I ran into the bathroom.
Right there?
Yeah.
I wonder how many people, by the way. How many people do you think found out they were pregnant in the bathroom over CVS?
Most.
Yeah.
Because you can't wait till you get home. If you can wait till... I just
If you can wait till you get home, you're probably not pregnant.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're like, eh, it's fine.
Just thinking
To me, I was just like... I bought like 20 tests, and I went to the bathroom, and I peed on two, and I was like, oh.
Everyone does two. Does it... Whoa. Was it... Yeah.
Well, then I went back to the hotel with Johnny, and he peed on some. And I peed on some because he didn't believe it. He was like...
You were just testing?
He
Does
was
this
like,
look like that looks?
Did we they were, all... like, stoked and happy, and all he was like, but we need to, like, wait till we get back to the hotel. Like, I'm going to pee on some, too, and, like, make sure. I was like, okay, cool. So we had a really lovely moment of us peeing on pregnancy tests together.
That's so bondy.
It was very bonding.
It was like welding you together as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there.
Exactly.
So you said pregnancy hasn't been awesome for you.
No.
I normally would say, how did you tell Johnny that, you know, or your...
came out of the bathroom and he was like, did someone yell at you in CVS? Like, what happened? And I was like, no, I think I'm pregnant. And he was like, oh, okay, cool.
There's that moment.
Yeah.
Very special.
Yeah.
Pregnancy is not good. So, I mean, not the funnest for you, you said.
It's such a weird experience. It's like, in the beginning for me, it was like very, very intense hormones. I was like kind of sad and stressed out. And it wasn't about like, I wasn't sad about being pregnant. It was just this like hormone wave again. Mm. And I didn't feel good. My body didn't feel good. And then...
But in, like, the nausea that people talk about, the fatigue?
A little bit of nausea, like, the most intense fatigue ever. I had more fatigue in the beginning than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm, like, out doing stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't even, like, you don't seem like it's slowing you down. But I guess you said light at end of tunnel.
Yes.
I didn't know you at the beginning when the light was very far towards the end of the tunnel.
It was so far. It was, like, a needle point. I was like,
you couldn't even see. Is there light?
Yeah. Couldn't tell.
But were you throwy-uppy?
A little bit, not too much, but it was like I had nausea, but I wasn't throwing up all the time.
Mm.
Thank God. I hate throwing up.
Oh, are you a control person?
No, it hurts.
Oh, that's there's that
it just
too.
Doesn't feel good.
Oh.
So.
I feel like sometimes control people don't like to throw up because you don't have control. Once you get past a certain point, you just can't control
that's
it.
Not, it just
I'm reflecting. It's just me.
You're just a control freak.
Yeah, I don't like throwing up at all. But I do remember my wife used to say, because she got kind of nauseous and throwy-uppy at the beginning of pregnancy, she would, like, start to plan things, to eat things that she thought would taste better on the way up.
Yeah.
Versus other things.
Yes. Which, I've heard of people doing that.
Shark Tank.
Yeah. Great idea.
Products that taste great on the way back.
Yeah. Really easy to throw up foods.
How about the last trimester?
It's been way better.
Yeah.
This last trimester, in the beginning, we didn't start doing the nurseries and stuff early. And we've kind of, like, saved all the fun stuff, I feel like, till the end. So now it's, like, buying freaking baby socks. Like, how can you not be so thrilled looking at baby socks?
It's true.
They're adorable.
I think even if you're not having a baby, just get them. Hang them on the wall.
Absolutely.
So I have a question. How about the body changes for you?
That's been weird.
Well,
and also,
it's always weird, I think.
Weird and also uncomfortable, I think, because it's, like... And not uncomfortable just physically. It's just, like, it's so weird to, like, not really recognize what you're looking like in the mirror. You're like, hold on. Because I look kind of normal from the front. And then I go to the side, and I'm like,
wow. Yeah.
There's a whopping belly to the side.
Also, I didn't know you before pregnancy. You don't look notably pregnant.
I've gained, like, 15 pounds in my face.
Really?
But other than that,
your face
it's
is
fine.
Usually 15 pounds lighter than that?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's nice. It's nice when it's not chubby.
Yeah. It's funny when I lose weight sometimes. I lost one time 110 pounds, and when I was like 85 pounds into it, a guy gave me first a compliment. He goes, wow, you look great. And then he said, it looks like you lost all this weight in your face. I'm like, I did not lose 85 pounds in my face.
But maybe it was 50.
Big face, but it wasn't that big. All right. So now that you're getting towards the end, you know, it's time we talked about an exit strategy.
Yes.
What was your original plan? What were you thinking, OG, for how to get the kid out?
My original plan was to go to Cedars, do an epidural, no pain.
Just for people who
don't
know, Cedars is a local hospital here in Los Angeles, labor and delivery. So
You're
going to go for a hospital birth with an obstetrician.
Yes.
Max drugs.
Normal, all the drugs, detached, everything.
What do you mean detached everything?
I feel like...
Oh, you mean remove yourself from the experience?
Yeah, I feel like doing it that way, for me anyways, was more detached from like connecting to the experience of it all.
And you did not want to connect to the experience?
No, and that's what's been the biggest change in this pregnancy is that in the beginning, you know, there were certain things that I wanted to have night nurse and I wanted to have epidural and I want to, like, not feel the pain of things and I want it to be plug and play and, like, handled and have help doing all these things. When now it's like I want to feel the pain of labor. I want to experience it naturally. I want to be there for my child in every single way. I don't want a night nurse. I want to be tired and cranky, but be the one that's with him all the time. And so that's changed throughout the beginning of the pregnancy to now for me. That's kind of been the biggest shift,
Now that you're getting very close, you're thinking maybe not so drug heavy? Maybe what other changes are you making?
Yeah, I've wanted to do a home birth now. After I met with my doula and we talked about it and she kind of explained, like, you know, you can do a home birth. And I was like, what? Mind blown. I didn't even think that was an option.
I feel like that's a big shift in gears. We should take a little break.
Yes.
And then come right back and find out more about what you're planning. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. We are talking to Elena Meyer, who, in case you're wondering, is still pregnant for the moment. Also joining us is another amazing guest. She's a Los Angeles-based midwife with about 20 years and thousands of families of pregnancy and birth experience. She hosts the popular Under the Hood podcast, where she and co-host Patty Quintero explore some of the mysteries surrounding the female body, perspectives on modern feminism, orgasm, the perinatal cycles, and so much more. She is a mother and a superhero, although that's kind of redundant. And
true.
As of what feels like 10 minutes ago, she's Elena's midwife. So, Alexandra Evangelidi, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You're an old staple. You've been here before.
That makes me sound like crunchy, I think.
You're a young
staple?
Scotch tape? Going the other way. All right. So, Elena, so you just, towards the very end.
Towards the
you're
very end.
Having these.
Like cutting it real close.
It's a big shift all the way from one side of the pendulum to the other side of the pendulum, like late in the game. What sparked that?
Well, Patty Quintero, who you do the podcast with, she's my doula.
We call her Podcast Patty around here.
Found from my best friend, Nicole, who brought her to me. And we were meeting very close to the end of things to, like, have our first meeting and talk about stuff. And then we were talking about what my fears are, like, around the birthing experience as a whole. And what came up to be the biggest for me really was the hospital and just the whole vibe that happens at the hospital. And she informed me about a lot of the stuff that you can do at home births instead that kind of, like, brings the stress down so it's not so intensive, like, needing drugs and stuff. And also went over the pain and how you can breathe through it, and there's, like, ways to deal with these things. And for me, it was, like, primally thinking it's, like, that's how it's been done forever, and I want to have that experience. And Patty kind of made that a reality of, like, this can happen. And then that's how I found Angel Alex.
Angel Alex?
Yes.
Podcast Patty and Angel Alex. So is there in your history anything specific that was a bad hospital experience? Or you just started, as we're getting closer, picturing what it would be like in labor and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, and I've never been a fan of being in hospitals. I've never enjoyed any time in hospitals, the smell of it.
Have you had, like, personal experience in hospitals where you were hospitalized?
No.
Just visiting other people?
Visiting, being there, going to doctor's appointments, anything hospital-related, period, I was, like, not a fan of.
Yeah.
As a whole.
I think there are different levels of not a fan of. Some people just, like, hate it and fear it.
I think it was more of a phobia, and I've kind of worked to make it not so much of a phobia.
Just a dislike?
Just like, I don't love you, hospital.
Yeah.
Home, I love you. So it was like, I would rather birth in you than in you.
I love that. Okay. So did you not know that home birth was an option or a possibility?
No,
or did
I did.
Think that you were not the kind of person who does home birth?
I didn't think that I was the person that did home birth. One of my friends, Jenna, who I worked for forever, and also she's worked with Patty a little bit for her births. She did home birth. And so I like knew it was a thing, but I didn't think that I would be like a candidate for it. And then Patty was like, no, but you are a candidate for it and you can do that.
I mean, you're not even the kind of person who does the pregnancy test at home.
No.
But it's weird to give birth at the bathroom in CVS.
That might not.
Although they do have a lot of supplies there.
Yeah, they have almost everything you need.
Great snacks, which the hospital doesn't really.
Plenty of makeup.
I didn't think about that. And then so you met Alex,
yes.
Angel Alex.
Angel
How was the
Alex.
First meeting with Angel? Did you go in thinking, I need to learn more about home birth and talk to a midwife?
No,
you just
knew already. I felt like I'm doing that now instead. And Patty was like, this is Alex. You'll love her. And I met Alex and kidnapped Alex for 6 hours.
That was my Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, you spent like a whole 6 hour day together.
Oh, yeah. We went deep.
Yeah,
we dropped
in your
in.
Initial prenatal visit.
No, it wasn't even that.
It was just a consultation.
We're just meeting, and I didn't leave. And then they cooked for me, and it was like, oh, this is happening. Is this happening? And you're like, yeah, this is happening.
That
I'm like,
incredible.
Oh, okay.
100%. What time should I come over?
Oh, it's good.
It was delish. It's really good.
So in 6 hours, I mean, that's usually that meeting is a consult. How long does that? Look, let's say your average OB, like when you meet for the first time to see if this is going to be a good match.
35 minutes.
Wow, you got a generous. OB, because most people don't say
seven.
That. Yeah,
seven
it's like
minutes.
7, 10.
7 minutes in heaven with your OB?
7 hours.
Cool.
But now you have Angel Alex, so you got to have an all to yourself for
hours.
Yeah,
6 hours.
Exactly. What kind of things do you guys talk about in that meeting?
Oh, my gosh.
Are we allowed to say?
Everything.
You know, we talked about what she wanted, what her fears were, what I do at births and what I don't do. I think we really kind of got to know each other,
mm-hmm.
like, very intimately.
Food
was important.
Yes.
We had a lot of conversations about that. Not, like, what we were eating in that moment, but really why it was important. We realized we had a lot of shared values around food. And
mm-hmm.
It felt like a real exchange of information. And it wasn't just me giving information. I was also getting information. It felt like, you know, we had some stories to swap and...
It was awesome.
Intimacy to share.
It's like a nice bonding experience.
It was deep.
Yeah.
Which is cool because it's towards the end of the pregnancy, so you know, it's not like you have the whole pregnancy to form that bond. That sometimes people have a lot more time, but
yeah.
It sounds like you made up for lost time, like, out of the gate.
Yeah, we handled that in one day.
Yeah. Are there things that you look for in an initial meeting, like you're a good candidate for home birth or you're not a good candidate for home birth?
There's like an initial screen process where is this person, as Stu Fishbein likes to say, do they have the right mental stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they mentally fit?
Different from everything physical.
Right.
Because there's certain
right.
physical things that make you not a great candidate for home birth
sure.
or even not able to do home birth.
Yeah. And really, like, somebody who has a tremendous amount of fear is not really a good home birth candidate.
Fear
right?
in general or fear about
everything?
The
yeah.
birth?
Fear in general, fear of the pain, fear of the hospital even isn't always a great thing. And we had a lot of conversation about that, you know?
Well, you know, this sounds different because I do feel like I've ended up at the birth where somebody was 100% sure they did not want to have a baby at a hospital, but also 99% sure they didn't want to have the baby outside the hospital. And then you end up at this out-of-hospital birth where it's driven by intense amounts of fear on both fronts. Like, they're afraid to keep going at home, but they're terrified to go to the hospital. That's not a good experience either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, with the conversation we had, I was like, look, go back to the hospital
yeah.
and do that tour over and find all the things about that place that's amazing, right?
Hmm.
Like, what do you like the paint? Great. Oh, there's a beautiful view out the window. Find it all so that you can neutralize the fear.
There's
yeah.
probably something that you didn't see that I could tell you that's amazing about the hospital. I've talked about
Which
it on the
is.
Podcast before. They have this incredible cocktail of juice that's apple juice, orange juice, and cranberry juice together in a big icy cup.
Delicious.
So good. I mean, I'm always like, if my schedule's full and people are saying, hey, can you come to my birth? And I'll be like, where are you having the baby? And then they say there. I'm like, all right.
Sure.
It's been a
I'll
while
get my
since
juice.
I had the juice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just in case you didn't know, there's that.
Amazing. Good to
add
know.
To the checklist. But you can have amazing juice at home. That totally
yeah.
beats that juice.
Well, I'm
but
okay
you,
with both now. Thank you.
Which is
for
amazing. But for you, it was sort of like, I want to have my baby in you, my house,
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, it
yes.
sounds like a mixture of both. But it wasn't like, I'm terrified to have my baby in you, hospital. So I'm going to do this because
yeah.
that's my only other choice.
And I think also like spending... my whole pregnancy thinking I'm going to do it in a hospital. Like, when I went to the hospital, it was a scarier reality because it was a picture that I didn't like since I had talked with Patty and the option of a home birth was in my head now. I was like, because at first, if it's just the hospital, you're like, this is what it is. But then I added the home birth situation. So it was like, okay, now I'm comparing home birth to hospital, and home birth has everything I want. And that's why I think that made the hospital more scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when I went back, it was easier to neutralize it.
But you're also talking about midwifery care versus obstetric care, which is also different. Like in Los Angeles, you can kind of have midwifery care at the hospital and obstetric care at home. It's one of those weird cities where those are available. But you switch both. You switch from an OB at a hospital to a midwife at home. First of all, how did your OB take it when you were like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a home birth?
She was very understanding about it.
You have a cool OB.
Yeah.
I know
she's
her.
Awesome.
I like her, yeah.
Her sister's a midwife. Mm-hmm. And so when I told her, I was like, I want to have home birth, she was like, lots of people want that. And that's just better for some people. Some people do most of their entire labor at home and just come in at the last second. Mm-hmm. Like, so she was more open to it, which was nice to not get like shunned by the doctor that I've been with my whole pregnancy.
Yeah.
So
that's great. And I mean, I could tell you that you love the midwifery model of care. It's just very different.
Yeah.
Even from a great OB like the one you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's, or at least I think she's a great OB. You guys talked about fears. Do you have fears about birthing at home at all?
I think that I have similar fears almost of just birthing in the hospital. It's like I'm still scared of the pain. I'm still scared of ripping and tearing and all that stuff. But the fears don't amount to how excited I am.
Mm-hmm.
About the experience and about the outcome. So it's like the fears would kind of be the same, except for I'm way more scared of needles. And now I don't have to do that since I'm not going to the hospital. So that's great. But
that's good.
Yeah.
Are there things at home? You know, at the hospital, there's many options on how to shut off the pain, so to speak. But what do you do at home? Like when, because if one of the fears is pain, how do you manage that at home where you don't have the same kind of pharmaceutical options?
Well, the first thing about being at home is that it's your environment, so you're not already on a defensive prose, right, where you can just be like, okay, this is my space, and naturally you're going to relax in your own space.
Mm-hmm.
You have your bed, your pillows, your smells, your toilet.
Yeah, right? I love my toilet.
So these are all really important things, right? But if you're in a foreign environment, even if you're in somebody else's house, it's hard to sleep, it's hard to poop, it's, you know. So in a hospital setting where you're having machines that are beeping and funky smells and strangers, you know, you really have no control.
Funky outfits, too.
Funky outfits.
Yeah,
funky
I'm not
lights.
Into their fashion.
Funky lights. No, their fashion needs an overhaul.
So, you know, in a home birth setting, we have this ability to kind of settle into an experience. Our cortex, frontal cortex, can relax. We can slip into that limbic part of our brain, which is that mammalian part of our brain. And when you're with people who have your back and who are looking at you.
That's me. I have your
literally.
Back. Yeah. Sorry, back to you.
You feel held.
Yeah.
You feel like, you know.
You can trust fall into the experience, which is kind of how I've been envisioning it, of like, I feel like with these people, I can just, like, dive into this. Fears included.
Right.
Yeah,
you know?
You're allowed to talk about them. It's interesting because the way you're describing it, one of the biggest contrasts in my mind, especially when I started going to home births after doing only hospital births for a while, was how, like, the difference in verbiage at the hospital, at least the ones I've been to, people are saying, can I do this? Can I do this? Am I allowed to do this? And at your home, people kind of around you are like, do you mind if I do this? You're like, you're totally in the driver's seat.
Which
and
you should
the people
be when
around
you're birthing a child.
Yeah, I would think so too.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, I think that not everybody loves that. Some people want to have their doctors the way that they look at medicine as they want to have their mm-hmm. doctors make all the choices, tell them what to do, when to do it, what not to do. And that's it. But you definitely don't seem like that person.
Definitely not.
For people who want agency, who want sovereignty, who want to know what their body can do, who want to be a participant in the experience, just by having ownership, your other hormones are going to start to quell, right? Like you're not going to have as much adrenaline and cortisol. Mm. You are going to have a lot more access to oxytocin and pleasure in the experience.
I'm going to do more stuff at home now. That sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
You really have a beautiful way of describing it.
Oh, well, let's do some more births together. We can.
I'm game.
We can all dive in together.
I would, yeah. You know, I'll put on my tights and hang out with you as your superhero sidekick anytime. What about ribbing and tearing? That was the other thing that you mentioned.
It's just like, if it happens, it's terrifying, but.
What are the things that you can do to minimize that?
Water. Water is the
being in water.
First.
Are there things you can do during pregnancy?
Absolutely. Although, you know, they used to say, they used to call it perineal massage, although I wouldn't really call it a massage.
Perineal torture?
Yeah, it's awful. And studies have shown that it's not that effective. But what I have seen to be effective in my clients is a diet that's rich in lipids. So lots of
healthy
fats.
I am not going to tear it. Oh, healthy fats. Sorry.
Healthy fats and actually using just olive oil on the perineum. Like, you don't have to stretch
during pregnancy?
It. Yeah. So like, if you're going to rub oil on your belly, you may as well just like keep going south and
to Oceanside.
Yeah. Go down south.
Right?
It's also kind of an Oceanside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
Your brain works really fast.
I know.
It's good stuff.
Sometimes not when it counts, but at least here.
Yeah. Perfect.
So it's important.
Well, it counts here.
So olive oil, you say not really perineal massage. I was thinking about that because sometimes I like to learn things from the animals. Not everything translates over, but I've never, you know, seen an elephant go up to their partner and start hoofing the perineum, you know, just try to stretch it out a little bit before the 275-pound baby comes.
There's no prep there.
No. Yeah. No, but you have to imagine, too, if you are in your space listening to your body and pushing as you are instinctually being guided, right? Because those sensations are your guide to show you where to push. It's very different than a doctor who may have his or her hands inside of you and telling you, push here, you know, coaching you and counting and barking numbers and, you know, like it's just...
It's an intense scene sometimes.
Yeah. That
coaching is a generous term for it. Sometimes it's coaching. Sometimes it's like, you know,
barking.
Like you said, drill sergeant.
Yeah.
Football
and
practice.
And then again, that takes you out of your internal experience and it has you stepping into somebody else's world. Right.
And there's no way you can hear the little voice inside. There's so many people shouting and grabbing your legs and things.
And it smells different and it looks different and the lights are blaring at you and it's just a different vibe.
You don't like the spotlight on the crotch situation?
No.
You're not going to have that at home installed?
No. Hmm. Not this time around anyway.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. All right. I think my last question before we go to break is there a time, because you switch late in the game, is there a time, Alex, when it's like, this time it's too late, maybe next time?
No. I don't think so. You know, I've had calls.
9 centimeters? Just kidding. I mean, people switch light. Because I think people sometimes at home listen to this thing, what you're saying, listen to the journey that you've been on. And they might, like you, because we get feedback like this, they might, like you, be like, oh, wait a second. I didn't know I still had, you know, a choice. I'm like going back to the
or
horses.
Just realizing
I'm on this horse.
I can do this. Like, I can do this. My body can do this.
Yeah, but once they have that realization, you know, even though they may say, I think I can do this and I want to do this and I want to be more present and I want to feel it and I want to be in the driver's seat, but is it too late for me to switch gears later in the pregnancy?
If one is black and the other is white, think about it this way, right? If I don't think I have a choice, that means I have no power. And the moment you wake up to the potential of having choice, then you have the power. It's just, it can happen in an instant.
Holy cow. I need to process that. We're
going
to have to take
hour.
A break. No, totally. That was deep, Alex.
Well, I have to say, like, it's the thing that I want most for my clients is to realize they have the power. Even people that aren't my clients, anybody listening to this podcast, really, it's obviously I'm not going to attend everybody's birth, but if you can just wake up to the realization that you are the one that gets to choose, and it can happen the day before you go into labor. It could probably happen in labor. You can choose a different care provider because the one that you have originally chosen isn't supporting you.
Do you remember one time I was in the hospital with somebody and they put her on a 24-hour clock for some arbitrary reason? And in the middle of labor, she's like, I'm not going to do it. They wanted to augment her labor with drugs or do a C-section. And it was like her fourth baby. And she's like, does anybody ever switch from, like, transfer in the middle of a birth from the hospital to home? I've been the other way around. And I was like, the only person I know crazy enough to even ask this question to is Alex.
And I said yes.
And I called you and you're like, promise me she's not cray-cray, is what you said. And she just made it under the wire, or she was thinking about leaving mid-birth. and switching to a home birth. So I guess you're right. It's never too late.
It's never too late.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, there's another twist, or maybe it's a turn. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. Before we jump into our final segment, I have a quick request. When you are done working out or driving, because that's when it seems everybody listens to the podcast, please take a second to give us a rating and leave some feedback in your podcast app. It goes a long way. And I figure if you're still listening, maybe you dig our podcast, or maybe you just dig our fascinating guests, Elena Meyer and Alexandra Evangelidi. Welcome back.
Yeah.
So I kind of teased that there's been another twist in your plan. This one wasn't your choice. It was your baby's choice. What's going on?
So he's breached. Is it breach or breach?
Just breach.
Just breach.
Breach.
Breach kind of sounds more like beach, like a whale.
Yeah. He's a breached.
He's breach.
Baby.
His presentation is not head down.
No.
And was that something that you knew about earlier on, or is that a new development?
Well, he was head down two months ago, and then he flipped to head up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel it happen? Yes, I was in bed, and it felt like he stood up and like walked around and then laid back down, and it was quite an odd sensation.
You're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then you went in and you did the ultrasound and boom.
No, I was just like, I was laying in bed and I felt it happen, and then I had an ultrasound the next day, and then that she was like, oh, he's head up now, and I was like, oh. Cool.
That's exactly what I said.
Great.
But then you said no.
No, I wasn't like, listening to you. Sorry.
No. You don't have to. It's really about you. So that wasn't really shocking to you.
Mm-mm.
But then, so towards the end of the pregnancy with breech, what kind of options were presented to you?
C-section.
For delivery.
For delivery. And then they also suggested doing an inversion. But you have to do the inversion in the hospital.
Virgin, probably.
Aversion.
The medical thing where they try to turn the baby? Okay.
Yeah. So I don't listen to her either.
ECV. No, I mean, it's a medical, you know, it hasn't come up in your world very often.
No.
ECV, external cephalic version, where they kind of through your belly
yes,
try to manipulate
the baby.
Yes,
they try to turn it manually on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a procedure that my OB suggested doing in a hospital.
Your favorite place.
A straw in my spine.
A straw? Oh, she wanted to give me an epidural?
In case I have to.
Oh, just place it?
Yes.
In case it turns into a quick cesarean?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that was a hard pass for me.
You didn't
like
it?
I was like, meh, no.
But then also, you had already kind of come to the place where you were thinking not so much hospital, OB, needle, birth, but then you're kind of like...
Well, I met with Patty before this appointment with my OB, and so when she was giving me her options, I want to hear everything that she has to say. Because she has been my doctor this whole pregnancy. But my decision was like, okay, I want to hear her options and stuff. And this was before I had met Alex.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't 100% like, I have a midwife, I'm good to go. And so I told her I didn't want to do an aversion and that I would think about the C-section and that we're all just going to hope miracles happen and that he just flips and we'll do a home birth and it'll be fine.
Well, he did flip like not so long before that this way. So they're...
There's a chance,
to flip back. Yeah.
And you know, any way that it's supposed to happen, that's the way that it's supposed to happen.
Have you been doing things like not the medical things, but other things?
I've been seeing you.
I don't believe in that.
I've been doing acupuncture. I've been going upside down. I've been doing yoga.
But you don't like needles.
No, but they're tiny, and my acupuncturist is a fairy godmother.
Oh,
so
that's
she's
helpful.
Amazing. And acupuncture is different for me. It's like
it's
I have
not
tattoos.
Medical needles? Oh, yeah.
So I'm okay with these needles.
I thought that was Sharpie. You did that with like a little Sharpie marker.
That's what I like to do. I Sharpie my tattoos on daily. It's really fun.
You're going to run out of real estate if you do them daily.
True.
Oh, you just put them on and they wash off?
Yeah.
That's a Sharpie.
Because I shower sometimes.
Hmm. Sometimes. Yeah. So it's more about medical needles, which are different, I think.
Yeah.
Right? There's
getting
like,
blood drawn. Don't love it.
No.
Easy with this one.
Oh,
easy
Alex draws your blood and it's no problem?
That
kind of
the
goes to what you were saying before.
Mm-hmm.
It's
home,
a lot.
Mellow.
Yeah.
We were like on the couch hanging out and she's like, I'm going to take your blood. And I even looked at it. It was the first time I watched someone take my blood and I was like, cool.
You want me to take yours?
Yeah, take it.
I hate having my blood taken.
I love taking it.
Really?
You love taking it?
I don't know
totally.
If you can find the veins.
I'll take it from people. I'll do
that.
Like,
you don't like having it taken from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. They're like buried in there. Ooh, gentle
She'll
touch.
Find it.
That's the idea, right?
Yeah. Not when I go to the phlebotomist stabber.
But that's the whole thing, right? Like the midwifery touch is a gentle touch. So then what happens when you're touched gently?
What, can you just Home. Do a phlebotomy service?
Sure. What do you need?
I don't know. Right now, I feel if you take my blood pressure, it's going to be normal. I can stop taking my medication, although my son did just start driving. Back to you.
Cool. It's a lot to unpack.
So you've been doing all this natural stuff. So how does that affect your options for birth now? Because...
Well, also, thanks to you, I found Stu Fishbine.
Also having a podcast, Dr. Stu's podcast.
Oh, cool.
You
Shout
know?
Out.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Shout
I don't know
out.
These
Plug,
things.
Plug.
Yeah, why not? More info is better.
Yeah, well, you linked me up with him, and I'm at this point in my head where, you know, if I have to do a C-section, I will, and that's fine, or I'm going to do it at home, and it's going to be awesome. Like, whatever way it happens.
Just to be clear, you're not going to do the C-section at home. When you said do it at home, you mean either...
The birth. Okay. Do the birth at home.
So
yeah.
I guess what we're saying is... You have a lot of options on the
yeah.
table. You can always have a cesarean birth if you want to, whether mm-hmm. the baby's head up or head down.
Yeah.
But if the baby, it sounds like, is either way, right? So Dr. Stu Fishbine is an OBGYN who delivers babies out of the hospital. And he also has years of experience with attending birth of breech babies. So I don't think he does them for everybody, meaning not that he discriminates against people, but he looks for different signs
yeah.
of, you know,
to make sure
a good
it's
candidate.
Safe, yeah.
yeah, a safe candidate for vaginal breech delivery versus not safe.
Yeah.
He appears in an excellent film that I spent years making called Heads Up, the Disappearing Art of Vaginal Breech Delivery.
And, great film.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes.
A lot of, if you have a bucket of popcorn and nothing to do with it, you can stream it from headsup.com, I think. Headsupfilm.com. Anyway, back to you. So you have that option. He met with you. You met
yes,
with him.
Yes, we met. And, well, before we met, we talked on the phone for longer than I've talked to any doctor on the phone ever. And that made me feel kind of secure, in a sense, before we even met, because he was just like, open book, ask me questions, talk to me about things. And then we got on tangents of talking about stuff and things together, and that was nice. And then when I went in to meet him, we looked, because he also does the aversions.
Version.
Version?
Yeah. You're cool. averse to saying it, but it's version.
Cool. Just
ECV, external cephalic version. People yeah. always want to say breached and aversion.
Yeah.
But you can. You're easier. The mama. We just go with what you say.
Cool. I'll be wrong over here in the corner, no, and I'll be fine with that.
You know what? If you say it, it's right.
Well, he was looking to see if that would work, and he just suggested that it wasn't the best positioning to do that because my placenta's on the outside instead of on the back. And so,
shame
but
on you.
When he looked at everything else, he said it all looked good to do a home birth breech with him delivering with Alex.
With you delivering, him sitting on the couch watching hockey.
And, yes.
I've attended breech birth with him before, and it was a very, very calm, relaxed environment like home birth typically is. It just seemed like regular birth, really.
Yeah, just butt first.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is how I came out.
Really?
Did you know that? I didn't mm-hmm. tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big butt.
Vaginally?
Thank you. I feel good about myself. Yeah, vaginal breech birth. I'm pretty sure in 1974 when I came out breech, they took one look at me and they're like, okay, we're never doing that again. And that's when it ended.
So it's your fault.
It's my fault.
Got it.
Yeah. But I don't think they cared. Like they didn't really know. The ultrasound was around, but I guess my mother didn't have one. They didn't know I was breech. And then, you know.
It wasn't, and everything was fine.
It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal. Such an ordeal then, was it?
No, it's way different now.
Just because it's a lost art, you know?
Yeah.
I think the documentary is an important watch for anyone that's breech because it goes through all of the potential delivery situations and what can happen and whatnot. And after watching that, me, my family, my partner, we all felt so much better after watching that because we felt informed. And that's the best thing that you can have.
I mean, the goal of the film is to end the podcast is to give you information as fairly as I can get it, you know, balanced. And then you just make choices. There's choices that are going to be better for one person, not good for another person. Pros and cons to everything, risks and benefits to everything. You kind of, if you don't have the information, it's hard to make an informed choice.
Yeah.
with the information, you're in a better position to surround yourself with providers who are on the same page with you and, you know, teamwork, get it done.
The big issue really, though, is that providers are not giving unskewed informed consent, right?
Yes.
Right. But, I mean, there's a million reasons for that, I think. One of them is if you go to a car dealer and ask about their competitor's car, they're not going to tell you the greatest things about their competitor's car. So, I mean, there's a business angle to it. There's a liability angle to it. There's just a general feeling like everybody's a little different. I think oftentimes a doctor will give you what they would do literally, genuinely for themselves and their family, but it may not be like what you want to do. I mean, it's really to you. So that's why we made it. I'm glad that you have options.
It's
been such a kind of a wild ride already. Just your transformation from one to, you know, one twist
quickly,
and turn after
also.
Another. Yeah, quickly.
Yeah.
So in the end of the day, it sounds like you're leaning towards having the baby at home and surrounding yourself with amazing people, Angel Alex, and if necessary, Dr. Stu.
Yep.
Who else would be there?
Oh, my mom, Angel Human.
Oh.
My partner, of course, and then...
Podcast Patty.
Podcast Patty as doula. And then my friend Nicole and my cousin Katie and my sisters. But I have one sister in New York, so I doubt she'll make it for the actual labor.
Your pregnant sister is coming also?
Other sister.
Oh, okay.
Pregnant sister, yes.
She's
definitely coming.
Checking
she wants
out.
To be... She wants to see it happen, I think.
Check
She's
it
not
out.
Doing it first.
Right.
She's like, check it out.
Yeah. She can really explore her options.
Definitely.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know, though. I guess because whatever. In the back of my head, I'm just thinking about this one particular best friend that went to a birth while she was pregnant. And it was a pretty good birth experience, but it still kind of left her emotional. And I'm not sure she fully processed that before she went to have her own baby. But everyone's different.
And
I think it's cool that she gets the opportunity to be in that really loving, nurturing environment with all those people you just mentioned and see what it's about.
I'm very excited.
All right. So, Alex, how do you get the home ready for home birth?
My kit came.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not like you have to, you know, completely redo a house to you.
No contractor?
No. Don't have to hire anybody. It's actually quite simple. You know, there's a basic kit of disposable supplies that most midwives have at various sites. So you order that. There's protecting the mattress, which, you know, if you like your mattress, you probably want to protect it. Because not only is birth a wet, juicy time, but so is the postpartum. And then it's really just finding the spot, right? If you're drawn to water birth is a great container for the birth experience.
And some of the wets.
What?
You can keep the wets in the tub.
Yeah. Keep the wet wet.
Yeah.
It's contained.
Yeah. Contained wets.
I think there's this like big fear that home birth is going to be like a crime scene in your whichever room you choose. And it's really not like that. I think midwives, we're really trained at how to keep it from looking like a crime scene. And we're like ninjas with Chucks pads and towels. And
And Alex is very concerned about my rug. She's like, can't do it on this rug.
The other rug is nice.
Oh, my goodness.
I got all the tarps.
Yeah. We're, you know, and those tarps are cheap. And
the rugs aren't.
Yeah. 99-cent tarp versus getting your rug cleaned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we clean it up when we're done. So, like, people who are like, oh, I don't want to have to clean up after the birth shouldn't be your problem. It should be our problem. So it's part of the service.
It's not like eating at home. You know, people like to eat out because they don't have to, like, do dishes and stuff afterwards. But it's not like eating at home and just throwing everything in the sink. It's like there are people there. It's like having a chef come and...
Yeah.
It's catered experience.
Waiter. It's catered.
Yeah.
Catered to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So is there anything you feel like you have to do before, like in the final moments, that's on your to-do list?
I'm trying to go out as much as possible and see all of my friends before I'm in mama mode. Mm. So I've been doing all the things that I can do with the little energy that I do have.
Well, your little energy is way bigger than my big energy.
Coffee helps.
Oh, I gotta try that.
Yeah.
don't let her fool you. It's the green juices. I saw her fridge. I know what's going on in there.
Yeah, this is true.
And
the bone broth.
Me either.
Right?
Ooh,
I saw the supplement. Yeah, she's...
You're doing it right?
She is doing it right.
That's my mom. She got me started on the bone broths, you know, the juices and everything, health-wise.
Oh, that's nice. Because, I mean, it sounds like you're also going to have this really nice postpartum nest. No
yes.
matter how the kid makes its way out.
Yes. And I have fairy godmother Kelly on the team now also.
Oh.
Kelly Rosenblum.
It's fairy godmother Kelly Rosenblum.
More angels, just angels everywhere. She walks in the room and you're like, I'm just so calm all of a sudden.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Like, I want to take a nap and cuddle you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited.
Me too. I'm excited to see what happens.
Me too.
Totally. Yeah. I thank you for joining us, and I wonder if you'll come back.
Yeah, aftermath.
After the baby comes, and just share how it all went down.
Love that.
All right. Well, I'm sending you very positive, juicy birth vibes.
Thank you.
And I really do. I right now feel this, like, pretty cool energy just vibing around you two. You three, yay. I guess. Two and a half, two and three quarters, two and nine.
Three quarters. We're almost there.
We're almost there. So where do we find you and your podcast, Alex?
My website is alexevangelidi.com. You can also find me on my Instagram handle, @thevitalwoman, or check out my own podcast, Under the Hood Podcast.
I love that. And now I understand why The Vital Woman was already taken when I tried to get it on Instagram. It's not available. I'm
Long
so
gone.
Grateful to both of you for being here, and I look forward to seeing you on the other side.
Yay.
And I'm grateful to our listeners for listening to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. If you like our program, share us with your friends and check us out on Instagram at Dr. Berlin, DocTorBerlin.
Give me the news, I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will, I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.